Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. Our goal is to help you develop a lifestyle that promotes health, wholeness, and healing. Feeling good is about accepting who we are and living from a place of inner peace in our perfectly imperfect lives. Thursday is our community show where I cover a themed topic and answer four questions that come right here from members of our community, just like you. We are here to support you in living your most beautiful, inspired, and joyful life with a focus on health, wellness, meditation and spirituality, and personal empowerment. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of the Saluna lifestyle brand, New York Times best-selling author, and nutritionist. Now let's get started. Hey, beauties, welcome back to our Monday interview podcast. I could not be more thrilled for our guest today, who is the one and only Danica Patrick. That's right, badass female race car driver, the best one ever. And no big deal. And she's also an entrepreneur, business owner, host of the Pretty Intense podcast. And she's just an amazing woman. I first connected with Danica a few years ago when she did a bunch of cleanses at Glow Bio, my first juice shop, and she'd read some of the beauty detox books. And I just, you know, we started corresponding virtually. And then I was recently on her podcast, and she's amazing. She's so strong and has such a clear sense of herself and her gut instinct and her voice. So this is an amazing interview, you guys. But before we jump in, I just want to give a quick shout out to our fan of the week. His or her name is Avers5342, and he or she writes, "I have enjoyed your podcast for years now. This past year's interviews and topics have been spot on. Thank you for all the work you do." Avers5342, thank you so much for being our fan of the week. I send you a huge virtual hug. So much gratitude, so much thanks. And I hope we get to meet in person one day. And beauties, for your chance to also be shouted out as the fan of the week, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes, which is free and easy and only takes a moment to do. And while you're over there, please be sure to subscribe to our show. And that way you don't miss out on any of these interviews or our community shows on Thursday. All right. All that being said, let's get into our amazing interview with the spectacular, incredible, strong, loving, wonderful Danica Patrick. So Danica, I am so excited to talk to you again. We've actually been connected for a few years.
Yeah.
You've been doing some of our cleanses, beauties. Danica is a GGS drinker, which is amazing. She's had it. She's one of us. Look at this skin and look at this hair and look at this energy. And we know that you're taking great care of yourself, Danica. And I love it. I love that you embrace the greens and the wellness. There's so much I want to ask you. But first of all, I want to say from one GGS lover to another, it makes me very happy.
Thank you for birthing the GGS. I mean, it's a really, truly satisfying and delicious drink. And it really helps you transition into not having to have things as sweet, right? Because there's kind of just enough. And then there's like enough lemon to cut it. But the one thing I do add, and I don't know, maybe you'll tell me that I totally ruin it by adding this, but avocado makes it like so creamy. Is that a bad thing to add?
So are you also doing the banana with it too?
Yeah.
So I would say probably the avocado is just really dense fat. So I would save the fat for a little bit later if you can. I mean, it does make it a little bit more filling. And so you won't have to have anything else. It's not terrible to do, but I'm kind of a purist. I like just the fruit and the greens and the lemon and the water, but you know, there's far worse things you could do.
Yeah. And I know that there's certain sort of thing, combinations for absorption or digestion. And that's kind of the world that I don't know. I just sort of go with what sounds good or feels good in my body.
Yeah, exactly. I think as long as we stick to, you know, 70% green, some fruit, some lemon, it's very, very simple. It just becomes this formula. And I just, you know, I honestly don't think about it anymore. People are like measuring and recipes. I just grab things now. I'm very visual in how I cook and how I make stuff. And it's never measured. It's kind of like the messy hair thing. It just is what it is.
Don't you find that to be the hardest thing when you're trying to write a recipe, like for your books? Because there's recipes in your books. And so do you find that when I did that for my book, I was like, I have to measure salt and pepper. Like, this is ridiculous. And I don't ever do it. And so did you find that?
I found it very unnatural, actually, because it's not how I live. But again, we want to replicate it for other people, obviously, to be able to follow it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Danica, it's interesting. You know, when we were talking on your podcast, your amazing podcast, about this idea of transition. And, you know, when we met virtually, I was, you know, working so much in food and I had the juice bar. And now I'm just focusing a lot on four cornerstones and this holistic, you know, approach, which feels my heart. Like, it feels true. It feels a little bit scary because it's like, oh, you know, people know me for one thing, but I'm sort of shifting and transitioning. And so I've, you know, been following you actually for a long time, not to sound like a creepy stalker, but mm-hmm. my dad is really into cars and racing and all this stuff. So I've known about you for a while, and there's so much I want to ask you. So this is going to be in some sort of random order, but just this idea of transition. Now I look at you and just the way you were, you know, talking about the bullies on social media, all these ideas, there's strength that's coming out of you. And you've transitioned different parts of your life. Now you're an entrepreneur. You've written a book. You have this amazing podcast. You're out speaking all the time. I guess my question is, how do you stay true to Danica and not put your identity in what you're doing? So, you know, yes, you're Danica, the race car driver, but you're also Danica, the woman, Danica, the soul, Danica, you know, the podcaster, Danica, the writer, Danica, all these other things. So how has it been for you when you're really known for one thing, not to get so wrapped up in that's who you are?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I guess if I'm being honest, it's been easy because I've always just followed my gut, my heart, my interest. And I also understand that you can't do an excellent job at something if you're not truly like invested and passionate. So if I just let that be my guide, I tend to, you know, it leads me in good directions. I would say that like I do a pretty good job of not being attached too much to outcomes when it comes to work.
Wow.
I set goals, but now relationships is a whole other thing. But in work,
complicated part.
That's the childhood stuff. But in work, I have a real trust that if I'm doing something that I really love doing, that everything else takes care of itself. Like it will resonate. It will get traction. People will enjoy it or like it or watch it or buy it or use it. I just feel like when I feel it like deep in my soul that it's for me and it makes me happy, then at a bare minimum, I'm just doing something that I love doing. So, you know, transition for me has always been fairly easy. I guess maybe the simplest way to say it is that I'm so much more excited about whatever it is that I'm going into than I am scared to leave something behind.
Amazing. Where did you learn that, Danica? Is this something that was taught in your childhood, or did you have an experience? Did you read books? You have such conviction. Like I said, I just felt goosebumps when you said, you know, if it's in my heart, I know it's going to get traction. That knowingness, where does that come from?
I don't know exactly how to answer. So the first thing that comes to mind is that I'm still kind of developing this and understanding this, but this ability to know truth. You're helping me understand it a little bit better because it's something I'm going through, but I've sensed it for other people, but also I'm learning that it's also by just you asking that it's also a sense of trust in myself and knowing the truth of myself. And so connecting with that and understanding, because there's this difference between like coming up with a story that like is about a trigger or a wound or a judgment or an opinion versus like what you know, because a knowing is just something that is there and you don't even really know where it came from, right? It's just a knowing. And so that's hard to know the difference between like something that you observe and have a thought about versus like a knowing about. Mm. And I think it's fairly nuanced. And so I need to cultivate that in a way that's like drinking wine, where when you first drink wine, it all tastes the same, right? All red wine tastes the same when you first start drinking it. But then when you get good at it, you start noticing the nuanced differences between a Cabernet and a Pinot, or then you get better and you're like, you understand the difference between a Cabernet and a Merlot. And so you get better at being able to identify kind of more of what is exactly going on. Yeah, I guess I have deep resonance with truth for myself that I'm sort of really starting to cultivate now, although I've always
all the things you've accomplished. I mean, we're always in journey, aren't we?
Yeah, it is. And so I guess I've been sort of, I guess, in touch and intuitive enough to know what it is that's my truth. You can always get better at that, right? Like you said, it's a journey.
Oh, totally. And I think especially for women, there's a big journey into what I call true confidence, which isn't just, you know, what we paint on and how we look out here, but being really connected to ourselves. And when I read all your amazing accomplishments and I think about your journey forging a new path, not following a bunch of female race car drivers, but going into this male dominated field to have that, you know, that strength, that knowingness to go through all those challenges. This is something that was with you from when you were a teenager, I imagine, which is pretty tough. It's tough being a female or any teenager, but I think a girl teenager. So how did you find your confidence back then, do you think? Mm. When you were starting to even say, hey, I'm going to do this and there's no other girls, but I'm going to be the one.
Well, I think that my family didn't point that out. Like, it wasn't like, okay, you're a girl, just do your best, you know? It was just like, go drive. So that perception, I think, was important to just have the perception that I'm another driver. And so it wasn't until I was really 14 when I started getting more attention in media that I started thinking about it more. So I think that sports especially teaches you confidence. I mean, you've got to have it. You've got to have conviction and you've got to have, you really have to be able to dig deeper. Yeah. So I think that there's part of it, I think you just come into this life with. I think you're either someone that can kind of cope with it or not. And then there's also the learning. There's nature versus nurture all the time.
What were your parents like? Your mom freaked out about the driving. Was your dad the pusher? Was it both of them? Like, what were they like?
My mom is a little bit more quiet, a little bit more reserved, a little bit more accommodating. My dad is the pusher. My dad is like, but I mean, I remember growing up and it was like, you know, your dad pushes you so hard. And I'd be like, well, he always tells me that I could quit if I don't want to do it, but if I want to do it, we're going to do it right. And so I use the word pull as a way to describe him more. Like, he's not a pusher, he's a puller. Like, if you want to come, let's go. But he was really hard on me. So he was tough.
Were you an only child?
No, I have a younger sister and, her name is Brooke and, she's 2 years younger and she was actually the one who wanted to start racing, not me.
Wow. And yeah. Did you race too?
No. For a little bit. I've always been someone who's kind of just up for anything. Like, I am really good at sort of sinking into myself or my place or my practices or my hobbies. Like, I'm pretty good at that. But if somebody asks me to do something, I'm always up for that. So I feel like Brooke was like, wanted a race. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what are some of your practices now, Danica? I love this word. We talk about practice a lot. I think, you know, it's like one-offs here and there and try different things, but it's the practices that we keep, which really does shape our life and our experience and our happiness. So can you share with us some of the things that are your non-negotiable practices?
Sure. I guess I'll start with what maybe, because non-negotiable kind of evolves too.
Sure.
But I'd say foundationally, I'll go with the things that I've done for the longest. One of them is fitness. Like, for sure, almost every day working out. I really enjoy like difficult fitness. So CrossFit or like something that it's like a little bit more intense.
Yes.
It really helps me be more present because I don't think about a lot of other things. I can't. Yes. I'm counting, I'm dying, I'm, you know, like, and it also is me. Yeah, exactly. But it's also me pushing my boundaries, right? Of the comfort of like whatever it is that I'm doing in fitness. So fitness is one. I would say food is another as far as a practice goes to take care of myself. So, I mean, I'm probably a little more regimented than I should be, but it's only but it's because I really like feeling good. And yeah. So, I don't like to feel bad. So some people are like, oh man, I should just ever eat a pizza. And I'm like, not like the one you're talking about. Like I can make one with like almond flour and, you know, an egg and some apple cider vinegar and some Italian seasoning and roll it out and make a, you know, paleo version or something. But I don't like crave the idea of crap, like right, just right. crap to like, to treat myself. Yes. For me, I can still treat myself while taking care of myself. But in general, taking care of myself as best as possible. So, you know, again, like GGS or, you know, chia pudding or, you know, a big salad or something like that. Like those things, that's me taking care of myself. That's a practice. And that's something that I really do a pretty good job of. I would say some of the other, those are like the steadfast that I've done for so, so long. But the other things I would say the most right now, in the last couple of months, I've started waking up and putting on either a guided meditation or doing my own meditation. And then depending on the day, sometimes I'll journal after that too. And so journaling is very, very productive for me. I'm not as good at quieting the mind, but I'm pretty good at connecting with, I would say, my higher self, my soul, the inner child. Like I can have like dialogue, soul dialoguing. I can talk to other people too. I can feel like I talk to angels, like, or, yes. you know, I feel like I'm very driven by dialogue. And so I get a lot of very good information from that. Sometimes it's a little bit of dialoguing, like meditating in meditative state.
Are you writing some of it too in your journal, Danica?
Or sometimes after. So it depends on what comes through, right? So it varies from day to day if it's both, if it's one or the other. But if it's enough, if it's like information that's really meaty, then I for sure will write that in the journal afterwards. Meditating, journaling. Journaling is very productive. I started doing something called the class, which is
Taryn
Toomey's class, which
Taryn's been on the podcast too.
I've DM'd with her a little bit. She seems amazing, and
her voice is so deep.
Yeah, she's like I feel like she's a very interesting person, but I really love that because that's sort of I feel like it for me. It's like serious fitness class. And then yoga. Like, I feel like in the class, you get this marriage between like a little bit more physical movement, a little bit more burn, a little bit more something like that. But when you pair it up with the mind body connection of the guided sort of words that come through, and then pairing that with breathing and movement, like stuff comes through. It's really, yes. really nice. Some of the other practices would be. I mean, those are probably the most consistent. So taking care of myself, mind, body, and soul as best as I can.
We're all doing our best. Yeah. What I love about the ones you naturally listed to Danica were that they were really varied. So here, and I talked about it on your podcast as well, we have four cornerstones: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. And I created this after working with so many hundreds and thousands of readers and clients and people. And I always find that, you know, there's one or two that we probably need to pay a little bit more attention to and nurture. And if we ignore one, you know, some people really ignore their emotional well-being or their mental health. And we tend to obsess over the food or the body one, or, you know, but you listed journaling, which I would call in the emotional well-being category, meditation, spiritual, your food, your body practices. So it already seems like you're coming at this from a really balanced place. But if you could say, Danica, one cornerstone that you feel you could really nurture more right now, which one do you think it would be?
Probably the emotional one. So connecting with my body and understanding things. As I said at the beginning, like learning how to feel it in my body, the difference between sort of an opinion or something like that and versus a knowing or a truth. Getting more into that is something that I should do more of. And I would say that I have started a little bit of a shift, because I'd say something that I probably, you know, get a little bit more compulsive about. I mean, it's tough. Between fitness and food. But I would say that fitness is super, super important to me. And I have pulled away from the intensity to doing more of something like the class, where it's not as hard for me, but I still get a little bit from it, but I get a little bit of something else from it. So for me, that's been the shifting balance to like shifting it towards a little bit more of that emotional sort of body as opposed to just the body.
So Danica, I've noticed that you've used the word intense at least 5 times and it's your natural, like it's such a powerful word. I think I get goosebumps again, just this energy. There's so much Shakti energy coming through. It's the name of your podcast, Pretty Intense, and your book. So what is it, do you think you're drawn to with intensity? Does it make you feel, does it make you present? Because some people are more drawn to soft things or quiet or gentle, but you seem really drawn to this, like this intensity.
No one's ever asked me that. great question. I would say that it's probably because I can feel truth, like, or that I can sense it and then I want it more and I want the depths of everything and pushing limits of comfort, whether it be physically, emotionally, vulnerability. Like I just don't swim in the deep end. It's so boring to me. And so I think that therefore there lies an intensity.
Yes.
There's no like soft veil over it or thick veil. Like it's just kind of like, oh, I'm mad or I'm so happy or tell me what you're thinking. You know, like it's like, there's no, it's like, I don't have much of a filter. So things can be, things are more raw. So I'm more intensely sort of driven to your vulnerability. I'm more intensely driven to a deep, like emotional practice, or I'm more intensely driven to, you know, having like an ideal meal that's so perfectly balanced and nutritious, or driven to the intensity of a workout. Yeah, I think
it, that's, it sounds like you like playing with the edges, right? Like you say, the edge of your comfort level and like pushing the boundaries. So there's, you're there, you're right on the edge.
That's it. You've just named it.
Well, I think of course, race car driving is perfect for you. I can't imagine you being drawn to like, I don't know, like figure skating is intense too, but something that's a little bit more, you know, flowy.
That's right. And one of the other things that pops up all the time that is just obviously I was a race car driver. I think about that is that I do everything fast.
Everything from
like, you know, I looked at this house, I wanted it. So I'm like, I want to move in 2 weeks, you know, like,
or what about eating? Are you a fast eater?
I am a fast eater.
Okay.
Yep. I put my food on my plate and I'm like, this is what I'm going to eat. And I just eat it all. And then I'm done. And then I go, oh, okay. So when people are like, do you want some water with dinner? I'm like, nah, I don't really drink while I'm eating. So I'm a fast eater. I'm a fast processor. So, you know, whether it's emotional information or whatever, like connecting to higher self, like I'm pretty fast at accessing that sort of stuff and processing. Yeah. I just kind of do everything fast too. So intensity and speed. I mean, dude. Like, how could I be anything but a race car driver?
But do you miss it? Do you miss being in that car and racing around those turns?
No, I don't. I mean, I miss sort of the very, very focused precision of it. I think that was a part of it that I really loved, that discipline. there's a lot that I don't miss.
Yeah, I'm sure it was like, it played itself out. You did it for a long time.
Well, I have to say that, I mean, this probably fits in with kind of the, you know, the vibe of all this is that, you know, what ended up happening at the end is I was sort of doing a lot of more spiritual work and raising my vibration.
We say all that here.
I don't have to joke about it. Good.
It's all frequency, like we know. And I think it's a joke that, you know, everybody, the people that laugh at this, that think, oh, everything's solid. Like, it's been shown beyond a sliver of a doubt that everything is vibrating. It's frequency, it's subatomic particles moving. So of course, we're talking about the language of quantum physics and how it actually really is.
I love that. I mean, I read a book called Frequency. I read a book called Holographic Universe. So
yeah, like, I love Holographic Universe.
It was a great book. Mind blowing. But anyway, so I felt like I was transitioning frequency wise to when I go to the track, I really felt discomfort. Like I felt like the purpose wasn't so good. Like the people weren't so happy. It was joyful.
It was like dense. It felt heavy.
Dense, heavy, negative. Like it just didn't feel good anymore. There was a lot of people that I was really like, couldn't even be around. There's a few people I remember just feeling like, I can't even be around that person. And so I think I just was, you know, shifting frequency wise and getting more sensitive to energies of other people. And then so I just wasn't as happy. And so at the end, I really allowed it to just flow. And so I was like, you know what? If a sponsor comes along, then I'll, you know, we'll just take it as a sign and move ahead. But if one doesn't, then I really learned what it was to quit versus let go. Cause like letting go just means like I'm open to it still working, but I'm not grasping. Wow. And so I let go and it just didn't come together. And so I that was okay. I was ready for that. I was ready for either.
The average person breathes over 23,000 times in a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for allergens and germs to get into your nose and body and wreak havoc. That is, unless you regularly clean your nose and sinuses. For healthy breathing and a strong body, use Clear Nasal Spray. Clear is a natural nasal spray featuring xylitol, an ingredient clinically proven to work against bacteria and effectively clean, not just rinse, your nose. Clear Nasal Spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Clear is natural and effective. In a recent study, researchers found that xylitol nasal sprays like Clear are just as effective as leading medicated nasal sprays. For better breathing, get Clear today. You can find it at all major retailers, CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, Sprouts, Whole Foods, and everywhere else. In over a decade working in wellness and with clients, one thing I have consistently seen is that one of the reasons people age faster is that their bodies become congested with toxins and waste, and oxygen in circulation becomes reduced. And that's why I developed a powerful product for you called Feel Good Detoxy, which is made up of nascent oxygen paired with magnesium and a stable form of vitamin C called ASC2P. It serves a few purposes. First of all, it gently increases elimination of toxins that build daily for greater vitality and beauty, where you eliminate more toxins daily in a safe, non-laxative, and non-habit-forming way. And secondly, the combination of oxygen and ASC2P has been shown in research to help stop the shortening of telomeres, which is one of the root causes of aging. Remember that a lighter, cleaner body is younger and healthier. Use code BOOSTHEALTH to get 20% off your first order of Feel Good Detoxy and our other products at mysaluna.com. That's Boost Health for 20% off your first order today on mysaluna.com. That's beautiful. Yeah, it just didn't match anymore. And sometimes that happens in a career, it happens in relationships. It happens. And if we try to hold on and it's not a matching frequency, it just, it ends anyway, but it just gets a lot messier, I think. And it just is a lot more stressful.
I love the saying that your new life is going to cost your old one.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. It's so true, Danica. And what about fear? I mean, it doesn't sound like you have a lot. We're talking about intensity, but I, you know, whenever I think about what you did, what you do, that's how you live, I get a little bit like, oh my gosh, like how can you drive that fast? How can you do that? You know, I think some people are wired differently. I had Laird Hamilton on here too. You know, Laird, he does those crazy waves and he's like, I just become one with the wave. So just for a moment, Danica, I know you're not racing anymore, but this already your mind, you're painting a picture of your mind for me, the way you look at things. And I'm starting to see it. It's very raw. It's very real. It just, whew. Take me through though, when you're going, how fast are you actually going?
I mean, the top speed I probably ever went was like 240 ish.
Okay.
And then I didn't lift and I turned left. So 200, let's just call it 200.
Okay, so let's say you're going 200 miles an hour. Does this disharmony ever come in between your body and your mind where you're like, you can't do this, you're going to kill yourself, this is crazy, what are you doing? Or do you flow through? Like, just take me into the mind of Danica, race car Danica.
No, that does not happen. I mean, you can think that the car doesn't feel good, but you're not allowing those thoughts to come in. I believe that, and I'm sure that, you know, if we were had Laird on, he might agree with this too, especially knowing him and Gabby and the way that they think. I do think that as an athlete, especially, or anything that you do at a really elite level, I feel that there's a transcendence of consciousness to do it. And so time is not the same anymore. Yes. Things slow down. There's an integration. So again, I just, you're shifting your frequency to a different state. And so, yeah, here's my funny example. So it was years ago when I was racing at Martinsville Speedway, and this is a tiny little half mile track, flat, a lot of accelerating, braking. And I was sick. And so I took some Dayquil in the morning when I first woke up. Look, you just need the real drugs when you got to do a job. So I chugged some Dayquil.
Yeah.
And then I had breakfast. And then as I'm leaving to go down to the garage area, I'm like, whoa, I feel drunk.
Oh, no.
I feel truly drunk.
Oh no.
I know. And I was like, great, I got to go drive a car. And it's like, not just any track, it's like Martinsville. And so I didn't say anything to anyone. And I got in the car and I never felt it for a second. And I was like top 10s, you know, quickest of the session. And I didn't feel anything. It didn't feel any different at all. And that was kind of like that little example of like, you're just shifting. You're shifting frequency. You're not in the same consciousness in your waking state as you are in your elite performing state. And so I'm betting that Laird would agree. I'm betting that a lot of athletes would agree. It's kind of where they go, like maybe there's an expression for someone listening that, you know, like you go beast mode, right? Or something like that, or you're in the zone or whatever, like where you're able to access, or like in racing, it would be like, you know, you could just like, you had another gear. And so that's sort of like the, like layman's way of saying you've really shifted. So I've always described that if someone can access that, because I think there's a shift in consciousness, but I think there's still like a higher level access point too that can happen for sure. And so whoever can access that higher space beyond just the focus that it takes to do the job and go to the next level, they tend to be very good at what they do.
Would you describe it as like deep presence, focus? It's more than just hard work, isn't it? It's like you said, it's a different state of being.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've also wondered too, if as we shift, if this is true, then do we access the quantum realm in a way where we don't actually, where we have access to more timelines? Like maybe you kind of know what's going to happen with the wave. Maybe know what's going on with the car without it doing it. Maybe you can see something unfolding before it happens. Like maybe you're accessing this sort of like, you know, another timeline to show you, or opening up the timeline to show you what's going on beyond. Cause like, you know, I'll go out on the track and it'll be like, oh, you know, it's the, you know, it just, it feels really loose. And they're like, yeah, well, your steering trace looks okay. And X, Y, Z. And I'm like, if you need me to spin out to show you it's loose, I will. And it's like, I know it's already loose. And some of it is, of course, it has to do with sort of the way that the steering feels, the handling, the way the back feels, just all those things. But how much of it is just like getting into the nuance of the feeling of like the, maybe the energy of something, or like being able to kind of feel it coming, like an intuition, really?
Yeah, it's so much more than the conscious brain, isn't it? It's dropping way, way, way down where quantum says there isn't this, you know, this, the way we look at time and space is actually not the way it is. And then I read something about this, I forget who the author is. He wrote this book about eight dimensions, and instead of quantum's five, but then he found this mathematical model where in eight dimensions, there is no actual time or space between anything. Everything is, you know, it kind of does blow your brain. You know, quantum physics talks about the idea that the center of the galactic universe is everywhere at the same time. So we're just kind of in it, and this idea, the spiraling of time. So to your point, you know, past, present, and future isn't so hard and fast linear as we might think it is.
So I guess in like an end cap to sort of like performing at that level is it just feels very attainable and easy and almost slower, right?
Yeah.
Watch it. You like, I watch a car go around the track and I'm like, whoa, that looks hard. And then you get in the car and it all seems doable.
Wow. You know, Eckhart Tolle talked about this once. I heard a lecture from him, and he was talking about people with near-death experiences. Mm. And he said when they were getting in a car crash or something, and something was coming right at them, time just really slowed down and they felt so present. So it sounds like you're just bringing this like super intense, and then you go down, 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 and that's very quantum.
Mm, you just said intense too.
I'm starting to absorb your energy, Danica.
We're entangling right here.
Totally entangling.
Quantum entanglement.
It's true. Don't even get me started. This is one of my greatest passions, Danica. I think you're going to love my next book too. It's all about quantum.
Oh God. I mean, I just think that it's the next frontier. Like I really feel that for us to access the sort of that quantum field, that quantum realm is really, I think there's just so much information for us out there, but it's so subtle. And there's been so much stimulation in the world more all the time, on top of just something simple, like more frequencies, right? You've got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and 5G, whatever, like that thickens things and dampens you as well. So, then you've got food as a frequency. So there's a lot of things I think that have dulled it, but if we can get to a place where we can do a better job at creating the space to be able to feel a little bit more, of that subtlety of energy, and then work with it and, you know, feel into it.
How do you create space being as busy as you are? I mean, you talked about some of your practices, but I mean, now we're in quarantine, so I don't know how much that shifted life for you, but do you carve out time in your calendar? You're like, no one's interrupting Danica now, or just how do you set up this time and the space? Because I feel because the world is so busy, because there is so much noise, the world isn't going to give it to you. You really have to consciously tune into those subtleties.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think from, you know, my immediate space around me, I try and make sure that the ambiance is really like nurturing and aesthetically pleasing and feels good. And I think some people have a little bit more of a need for that than others, but like just the general vibe, it'd be like, you know, a restaurant, the same food at a restaurant that's, you know, no windows and, you know, horrible, like no art on the wall and people are, you know, nobody's being nice to you, versus like one where it's like, open and it's like beautiful. You're overlooking a beautiful view and, you know, the tables and there's a flower on the table and everybody's sweet. And, you know, like you can eat the same meal and feel completely different. So it's really about your sort of environment and how you feel. And so I try and make sure that wherever I'm at, I really create that space for myself, that sort of like nurturing, soft, loving, comfortable, cozy, like feel good space. I also make sure that, of course, the food is organic or local or, you know, as high vibe as possible.
Oh, is it big? Sorry, I'm laughing because I was like, soft, nurturing space. So Dana could be a tent.
Yeah, it's for you. It is. And it's like, but I intensely need that.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you a whole body? Do you like home, being home?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm good at being alone. I'm good at like knowing how to do my whole day and feel good without even much of an agenda sometimes. Like I have no problem filling my day with things, hobbies and activities and tasks and whatnot.
What are some of your hobbies?
Like I like to read. I like to get out in nature. I like to, I make like dream catchers, or I like to sometimes paint a little bit or sew.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Do you have like a craft room in your house?
I do. I'm like, well, actually I don't have I've got a bunch of crafts like in drawers right now because I just moved into this new house, but I've got tons of like random, what do I have in here? Let's see if I have anything fun. Oh, look, I got this for my birthday earlier this year. It's, and then I've got things like yarn to make like dream catchers, you know?
Oh, I love it. I love dream catchers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I still need to get the space going, but I have it all just shoved into drawers right now. So,
let's say Danica, you have, a totally free day. What are you going to do? Like no podcasts, no writing, no work.
So I'd probably wake up whenever, obviously, but I get up fairly early anyway. I tend to wake up with the sun. So depending on the time of year, it could be 5 something. It could be 7 something.
Just naturally you leave the windows open or your body is that tuned in with the solar rhythms.
Oh my God. I have to put tape on things because light bothers me. So, once the sun's, blackout, like I remember when, I bought a place in Chicago a long time ago and the windows were facing east. And so when the sun comes up, it comes blaring in. And so when I first bought it, I had someone come out from a store to figure out how to channel set blackout blinds, because if they weren't channel set inside, then the sun just comes around it so glaringly to me.
Good point. Yeah.
So I'm crazy about light and it needs to be off. So whenever natural light comes up in the sky, it finds its way into the room and I feel it. So I'd wake up naturally, which would probably end up being around 7-ish. I would, let the dogs out. Got to do that. And then meditate, journal, drink some coffee, have breakfast, do a workout, shower, or maybe lay out for a little while in the sun, get a little sun, maybe read a little bit, cook, an afternoon. Yeah. Maybe like an afternoon walk or hike with the dogs. I'd love that. Like out for maybe an hour or two with them. Come back. Always have music on, by the way.
What kind of music?
I tend to like Zen kind of music. So put like an Amos Lee station on or somebody like that. That's like really calm and chill. I really like that. I've been listening to a little bit more upbeat music. But I don't mind pop and chart music, you know, like play some Lizzo. That's fine. But I generally like chill music. And then I would probably have a glass of wine and then I'd start cooking and, make a beautiful meal and then relax and I don't know. Maybe I don't know if I'd, I don't really, I don't love TV. So, you know, maybe I'd, if I was by myself, maybe I would, or maybe I would, you know, FaceTime or talk to somebody, a friend or somebody like that in the evening. Yeah. I mean, that's it. That'd be kind of my day. Like an easy.
I love it. There's so many parts and it just feels like you, like you're just doing your thing, flowing around, connecting with your energy. It just feels beautiful.
I'm also pretty intuitive eater too. I know that I'm fairly regimented, but I don't like to overcook and have a lot of leftovers because yeah. I'm like, I just kind of want to eat what I want at that moment. I choose either sweet or savory. Usually I'm like, is it chia pudding or is it a salad?
And will you, if it's just, if you're cooking for one person, will you actually cook? Because I know if cooking for myself, I'm just like, here's a bowl with a couple things in there.
Sometimes I do that, but a lot of times I make my food look good even if no one sees it. Like I was thinking the other night, like I had a really late, like I'd say for me, I feel best when I eat four times a day. Like mm-hmm. three times is a pretty long span for me, especially with the workouts that I do and stuff. It's just four times works best for me. So I'd had my third meal that was like, I feel like it was like tacos with like jicama shells and, you know, sprouts on it. And it was like this delicious savory meal. And so for dinner, I was like, I think I'm going to sort of marry dinner with dessert. And I made a pancake. So I use like banana and I can't find I cannot get a substitute for egg. Sorry. Like when it comes to pancakes, it doesn't work. I can't get it to work. And I'm pretty decent at cooking. I can't get it to work. So I made pancakes anyway. So I took and I drizzled things and it looked really beautiful. And I was like, I mean, do I really need to post a picture of how pretty my dinner is? And I just stuck my fork in it and started eating it, but I make it look pretty no matter what. And then I usually go, oh, that looks pretty. I'll show people how pretty.
Yeah.
But it always looks pretty because we eat with our eyes too. And it's just self-care. It's like, honestly, it's like, it's kind of like when you live in your house and you get flowers for the table or you have a really soft, lovely blanket. Like they're for you.
It's true.
No one sees that. It's just for you. So making my food look good is like the same thing to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. When I put together a bowl, it has to be really fresh. It's more about the ingredients. I mean, for me, I don't follow complicated recipes. I don't make my own complicated recipes too much. I'm too busy. But to your point, like the freshness and the appearance is doing something to your energy. That is affecting your energy, like digesting it too. You do eat before you eat.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you do a very good job of colors.
I do.
Colors absolutely make a plate look different.
It's true. It's true. We have a lot of colors around here and my fledgling veggie garden, which I need to replant. Got a lot of tomatoes.
I love gardening.
Do you have a garden there?
When I lived in North Carolina, I had a garden and I loved it. I had like four beds and I had pots because things like mint need their own pot. You cannot put mint
take in over.
Yeah. So I had tons of stuff and I was able to pluck from the garden and make things. And so I could grab I had rainbow chard. So that was so good to put in GGS, right? Like you just grab it out of the garden. But, then I haven't had a garden since. So there was just a greenhouse built in Green Bay, but then that all ended. So the greenhouse is no longer something I'll go visit. But I was getting ready because I love gardening. I just love there's something about taking care of something, right?
Yes. Yes. And seeing it get bigger and bigger. It's very satisfying. I mean, nothing tastes better to me than a tomato that we've grown here, even if it's this big. So Danica, I want to talk to you about beauty for a moment, which is something that I've talked about a lot. I think in, you know, five of my books, four of them have beauty in the title.
Drink a lot of water.
Well, just the concept of it, right? Because as someone that, you know, I've struggled with weight, eating disorders, acne, just obsession with out here. And then the long, you know, as time goes on and the more I read and the more I go deeper spiritually, you start hearing Rumi talk about beauty and Paramahansa Yogananda, the yogis would talk about beauty, like this formless wordless state almost. So I started to really think about, you know, what really is beauty? Because there's the modern version of beauty and then ancient ways that people were talking about beauty. So for me, I think beauty, and I think the most beautiful people that I come across are people that are really connected to themselves. So there's this relaxed, almost this comfort. They're not trying to be like someone else. They're not trying to look like someone else. They're just being themselves, right? So to me, I define beauty as this state where you're really connected to your mind, your body, your spirit, and you're just relaxed into that. And the most beautiful people just have that magnetism about them. And again, it's not painted on, but it's something that's coming out. So, and of course we, you know, we like makeup. I wear makeup too. We like the surface stuff too. But to me, there's layers to beauty. So, and this is a big topic, but can you tell us a little bit about your journey of beauty? And, you know, I think that, you know, someone in the public eye and someone that has been, people emphasize your looks, people emphasize your sexuality, but there's so much more to you. There's so much more to your beingness. I'd love to hear your perspective of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a big, big topic to unpack. And there's so many different directions I could go with this, but I guess first in describing what I think true beauty is, it's an essence, right? Mm-hmm. It's an energy.
Yes.
It's a confidence. I mean, like if you took two people that, you know, a beautiful person that you could just kind of like this and, you know, just like fidget, you know, just kind of like, you know, not feeling it. And then you see this other woman who is, you know, perhaps not as beautiful. If it was a static picture, maybe she has some flaws. Maybe she's, you know, maybe there's some things about her that are a little less sort of balanced aesthetically or something like that. And that, but this person is like confident and engaging and like open and funny. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, I want to be around you.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. Right. Yeah. So when you say that, when you really know yourself, yeah, because you're being you and there's, when you try and be like someone else, the simple truth is you never will.
I love it.
You'll always fail.
And you're always going to feel not enough or lacking.
Yeah. So the best thing you can do is be you. But we live in a culture where, you know, there's a lot of subliminal and direct advertising and playing on insecurities and, you know, idealizing certain sort of perspectives of beauty. And so we get confused. And so we, again, this kind of goes into that emotional state, right? It's so, so beautiful that you have these four cornerstones because like, how do you feel, right? How does it feel? Like you have to really be able to get into the feeling of the things. So one way is to do something that you love to do. Right? Like be around people that make you feel good because all of those things kind of raise your frequency and make you feel better. And when you feel better, you look better. And I don't know, this is like a crazy way off idea, but I kind of love to do this is that I wonder if there's some kind of connection to how that, because if our cells are all listening to us at all times or the way that we speak to ourselves, do we then start to actually like become that? Like, is there, are we influencing the cellular expression of our body when we speak well enough to it and when we treat it well and care for it? I don't know. It's like, it's a quantum idea, but.
Well, to me, it's 100% yes. And then you look at these new fields like epigenetics, which have shown that it's not, you know, the DNA isn't influenced from internal signals, but the external environment. So love and gratitude and taking care and just, you know, connecting with your body, I think do influence the expression. I wrote about this in my third book, Danica. I found this amazing research. I used to look in the mirror all the time and say, oh my God, your thighs are so fat. Your arms are flabby. And it was really hard for me to lose weight. And I would just focus on it. And then at a certain point, you know, and different things started happening. I got into my yoga practice. I started feeling strong. I stopped weighing myself. I have a numbers-free philosophy, so never talk about numbers. I don't look at
that
calories.
That is so funny. I just went to Bed Bath & Beyond to get stuff because, like I said, I had a new house, and I was like, do I get a scale? And I was like, I don't give a shit.
I love it. Yes, yes, yes. All numbers don't matter because it's the opposite of quantum. It's just this man-made, like very finite way of looking at things. You know, at a certain point when I was looking in the mirror and I was focusing on my arms and my legs being fat, it was almost impossible, no matter how many little calories I ate, to lose weight. And when I let it go and I started appreciating the strength of my body, and I was like, wow, look, I can do a handstand. I could do a back bend. I can do these things. My body just slimmed down and became more toned. And I was like, this is crazy. And then I started finding research about, for instance, this group of people that were obese, and they put them into a facility and they fed them the bare minimum to maintain their basal thermometer, their temperature, rather. It was about 500 calories. And these people continued to gain weight. And there was no linear Newtonian physics explanation for this, other than if you look at the constitution of fat, it's protective. Right? It lines the myelin sheath. It's part of your nervous system. So it's protective. It creates a layer between you and the outside world. So there's a lot to fat and holding on to fat and holding on to weight. So energetically, I know it's like we're not trained to think this way, but when we go more into the realm of energy, you see, oh, that makes sense, because fear and trying to create space, it can create a physicality.
Wow. So that's mind blowing.
Yeah. It's amazing. So I'm you and me, sister, are like on the right, this exact same page of this whole energy and this whole frequency thing. And to your point about the example of the two women, who do you want to be around? We take away the physicality, the surface, and you're just looking at frequency. Someone that's embodied in themselves is going to have such an off the charts frequency because it feels aligned. Versus trying to be something that you're not is always going to deplete you, I think.
That's right. That's totally right.
Well, love, it was so amazing to be with you today. I could literally talk to you forever. I think you're so inspiring and strong and the wonderful force in the world.
Thank you. So are you. Thank you for leading the way on, again, you're pushing the edges too.
Trying my best.
Maybe I come in this little bit more intense package. I don't know. But I think that we all have people that are truly making a difference in the world are always going to be on the edges.
Yes, it's true. It's true. Well, last question, Danica, love. What are you most passionate about? What's next for you? What's one thing? I guess there's a lot of things you're passionate about. What's one thing you can't wait to create or to work on or put your energy into right now?
I mean, something specific is difficult because I have so many various different projects, but I think with my purpose that I feel, I just feel like I'm here to inspire is like the simple word that everyone can relate to. Cause that's what I wanted to do with racing. I thought I have this unique platform to inspire and I don't want to waste that. But then I was like, okay, there are a lot of inspiring people and they aren't race car drivers to inspire, but really to, I guess it would be maybe like in more of our language, it'd be to wake people up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So wake up to the fact that not everything we hear is true. The fact that what feels good in our body, connecting with that quantum realm more to their own pure potential, how powerful their mind is and how thoughts become things. So waking people up to a little bit more of the sort of unseen world feels like my purpose in life. So doing that through the podcast and being able to, you know, plant seeds with people of that are so, again, like yourself, who, you know, is talking about things that maybe not everyone is familiar with. And then also telling their story about how it affects their life to inspire someone to want to do it. To even my wine that I make.
Yes.
I have two different labels. I have Somnium, which means dream in Latin. And that started back in 2009. But then Danica Rosé just launched this year. So, but for me, it's all about connecting, right? So, you know, when we get rid of social media and phones and technologies, and we just kind of sit and be present with each other and connect through the wine and tell stories, like we stay connected in that human way that I think is fading a little bit, you know, communication, being able to accurately do that and being vulnerable face to face with somebody versus behind a computer or something, or maybe not at all. Yeah. Everything that I do tends to be about like connecting, going deeper and inspiring to go deeper.
Love it. I love it. I love to see where this intensity is going to channel next.
Thank you. There's a couple projects in the works, but to not overlook the ability to do that through seemingly less direct means is still possible.
Yes. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Danica. I really, really love talking to you. I think you're amazing. And I think you are a true beauty for sure.
Thank you. How are you?
The world will agree with me on that one. All right, love. Thank you again so much. It was great.
Yeah, it was really, really nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, beauties. I hope that you enjoyed our interview. You may have a girl crush on Danica now the way that I do. So thank you so much for listening in. We will be back here Thursday for our next Q&A community podcast. Till then, be sure to head over to the show notes at mysaluna.com to get more information and also to check out our current Beauty Inside Out course, which we have collabed with Commune on. It is free for the next few days, so you want to check it out today and get going on it. I think it's a really amazing course. My heart is in it, so I'm really excited to share it with you guys. I'll see you over on Instagram as well, which is @_KimberlySnyder. Sending you lots and lots of love, and see you back here soon.